Our scripture today is in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 25a. Before I get into that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this day, and for this moment. For in this moment, we're about to read your word. We know, Lord, that through your mercy and grace, we are encountering your Son Jesus, Word made flesh. We are experiencing your grace and mercy in the very reading of your word, because you, Lord, didn't leave us to bump around in the night, in the darkness, but has shed light in our lives through your very word, and we thank and praise you. Open our hearts and our eyes to receive what it is that you want from us this day, that our lives may be changed, that each day after we may serve you all the more. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Romans. And I know you each have a pew Bible in front of you, so if you'd like, please open up the pew Bible and read along with me, because this is a really wordy, Paul gets wordy sometimes. This is an extremely wordy text. So it's Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 25a. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. I love the Bible. The Bible is it's cool. It's fun. And Romans, I did a Bible study in Romans a little bit ago. Romans is an extremely wordy book. But the theological ideas that we get in Romans are so important to the church today. In fact, Romans helped to shape what it is that we worship today, how we worship, that we gather together, what we believe. The theology in Romans is so important to the life of the church. But it can be hard to understand. It's just, I mean, if I read that fast, I do what I do, I don't do what I don't want to do, I do what I don't want to do, I don't do what I do want to do. I mean, it's just again and again and again. But what Paul was doing here is something that's scary for us to do. He's bearing his heart. Now, I don't know how you feel about Paul. I have kind of a love-hate thing going for Paul. Sometimes I Paul irritates me. You know, he's as subtle as a hammer. He rolls over people on occasion. It's not that I disagree with what he says. Sometimes I just disagree with how he says it. He has no finesse. Paul doesn't. But at other times, I love Paul. I love Paul's energy and Paul's passion. You cannot say that Paul is not totally sold out for Jesus Christ, because he is. His entire life is just, it's so Jesus. Every point of it, every bit of it. In fact, there's a really cool scripture in Acts, at the end of Acts, where Paul's in chains and he's meeting before a king, King Agrippa. And they're questioning him about his beliefs and how he goes about life. And Paul says to King Agrippa, you, Agrippa, should understand the prophets. I believe that you could believe the gospel. King Agrippa answers Paul. He says, do you think to turn me into a Christian so quickly? Paul's response back to King Agrippa was, I wish for every person here to be as I am, except for the chains. And that's his whole life. That's his whole desire. It's to be, it's that, so that everyone around him, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they come from, regardless of background, it's that they know Christ. Because, and the scripture that we read today is the because. One thing I do like about Paul is that he did show vulnerability. Paul knew exactly who he was. Sold out for Christ, absolutely, 100%. But he also knew his weaknesses. He had such a strong desire to love God, to follow Jesus in his footsteps wherever they sent him. And for Paul, they sent him to shipwreck. Paul got stoned. Paul got persecuted. Paul got sent to prison. And he walked every step of the way. But Paul had his struggles. He understood the sin that dwelled within his heart. There's a scripture somewhere in the Bible. At some point, Paul wrote that he prayed to God three times that God should take away a particular affliction, whatever that was. Maybe we'll go over that scripture another day. And God said, no, for my strength is sufficient. Paul's writing to the Romans. He's never met the Romans at this point. This is before he actually ended up in Rome as a prisoner. But the Roman Christian church flourished because of other missionaries that went there. And Paul writes to them and he shares with them beliefs and doctrine and theology. But he also recognizes within the Romans that they have a lot of challenges in their lives. And Paul is saying to them, I know. I have a desire and a love for God. And yet, when I try to do the good I want to do, I can't. I find that whenever I do good, sin is so close that it bites me in the butt. And I get so frustrated. Talking about love-hate relationships, Jumonville has been a big love-hate relationship for mine. I started as a program staff in 1999 and program staff for 2000 and then 2002. When did I get in your camp? Tell me about it. And I loved being there. I mean, you were surrounded by Christ. It was truly a mountaintop experience. Jumonville's up on a mountain outside of Uniontown, if you're not aware. Big cross up there. And it's truly a mountaintop experience. You feel so close to God. And everyone around you is like sold out on God, and you're in this safe place, you know? You know that it's okay to proclaim Jesus Christ because no one's going to make fun of you because they all agree with you. And it feels so great. But then you'd leave. And illustrate this another way. Last time I was at a Christian concert was Carmen. Anyone who Carmen is? You remember Carmen? He was an entertainer. He came to Pittsburgh a lot. I was part of Carmen concerts. Went to Promise Keepers. Guys, you remember Promise Keepers when they came through? Was part of the Billy Graham crusade when it came through many moons ago, a few moons ago. And it's all the same. You go to the stadium. You proclaim Jesus Christ. You have this great and wonderful spiritual movement. And it's wonderful, and you're like, I love Jesus, and I am sitting on his lap right now. And then you go out in the parking lot, and you start to leave, and people are flipping each other off and cutting each other off, and the horns are blowing, and you're wondering, what happened to this spiritual expression of God? I mean, where did it go? Paul says, I'm there. He says, and he sums it up beautifully. And maybe you're there with Paul too. He sums it up by saying, throwing up his hands and saying, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched person I am. I want to love Jesus with my heart. I want to go where Jesus sends me to go. And yet, And yet I find that there's another law, that my members do what it is the sin in my life wants them to do. And he says, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why Paul had such zeal, such passion. Because he recognized just how wretched he was. And yet Jesus Christ came into his life and changed it completely. And no one was going to take that away. Because Jesus loved him as he was and told Paul that he could be better. And said, but you can't be better. Trust in me, and I will help you to live. Such gratitude because of that. And as a form of an introductory sermon, I want to tell you that this speaks to my heart. I'm right there with Paul and flinging up my hands and say, what a wretched man I am. And yet Jesus looks down upon all of us, raises his hands and said, yeah, you are, but I love you this much. And he died for us. And we can praise God for that. And so we live now, as Paul was trying to get, I think, in Romans, we live now not according to the law, but now we live according to gratitude, according to joy. Because, yes, we are wretched human beings, but Christ saved us anyway. And we can praise God for that. And communion is a great and wonderful display of that, the scripture that I read in beautiful symbols. Because communion tells us that exact same story. That Jesus Christ, when he was sitting down with his disciples in the upper room, he looked around at his disciples. And what he saw is people who had given their life to follow him. And yet, when the hammer came down, they would all flee. And they did. When you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. But Jesus Christ, knowing that not just Judas, but each and every one of them would betray him, still took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me. Even before they got it, he still endeavored to die for them. Even before we got it, he still endeavored to die for us. Communion is a time of joy and gratitude. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of communion in our lives, this time to be in your presence and be reminded just how far your love goes for us, all the way to death upon the cross and beyond. We thank you. Open up our hearts and our eyes. Prepare us to receive this great and wonderful gift, that your name may be praised. And as you have given to us your body and your blood, take now also our body and our blood. Use us for your glory, that others may know of your love also. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.